amen, all right. You enjoy that song, say amen. Amen. In fact, get your Bible and wave it around a little bit. Oh, yes. Praise God. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, I got the Bible. I got a real Bible. I got a Holy Ghost breathed Bible. I have an inerrant, impeccable, indispensable. Man, I'm on a roll with them big words tonight. I'm glad we got a Bible. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word shall not pass away. It is forever settled in heaven. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Thank God. Let's do that one more time. Praise God. I got a Bible. I got a good word of God. Amen. I got a dear friend of mine. He's 87 years old. And when he gets ready to preach, he makes this statement. And I got to borrow it. It fits right here. He said, the Bible contains the mind of God. So let's open the Bible and see what God is thinking about. Amen. Boy, I wished I'd have come up with that on my own. And I ain't come up with nothing on my own, but I'm glad. Praise God for others. Don't you love this preacher right here? And I love Brother Davey, and I appreciate the Lord just making the church roll on. And Brother Stewart would be so thrilled with this tonight. And I'm like you, brother. I love my heritage. And if I hear one more young preacher talk about we got to reinvent fundamentalism, won't you go fly a kite? Reinvent. God have mercy. There's nothing wrong with our Bible. There's nothing wrong with the Holy Ghost. There's nothing wrong with the blood of Christ. Nothing wrong with the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. That stirred me up, Brother Doug. I'm glad I got a Bible. You may be seated tonight, Luke's Gospel chapter number 10. And I want to read a couple of verses tonight. And I'm going to use verse 34 as a text. And the Lord willing, we'll be out of here about 10:30, 11 o'clock. Well, Billy Kelly said one day, that mountain preacher one Sunday morning said he preached on the prophets. He preached 4.5 hours on the prophets. Said he preached on the Old Testament prophets, the New Testament prophets, the tribulation prophets, the false prophets, all kind of prophets. In about 4.5 hours, he said, oh my, I forgot about Isaiah. What am I going to do with him? He said, old man to back stood up, spit his tobacco juice out and said, bless God, he can have my seat. I'm going home. Amen. But I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. I don't see any clocks up there, but I got friends of mine that are here, and when they've had enough, they'll let me know. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10, began reading tonight in verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, and notice the Bible said, leaving him what? Half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. And I'm glad tonight that that is not the end of that story. And aren't you glad tonight? The story of your life does not end with you being dead in trespasses and in sin, a million miles away from God. God wrote another verse. And aren't you glad God wrote another verse in your life? And God begins the next verse in this man's life in verse 33 with a heavenly conjunction, but. Well, I'm glad one day God butted in. And business picks up when God butts in. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We were dead in trespasses and in sin, but God, who is rich in mercy. Aren't you glad he butted in? Praise God. That ain't in my notes, but I enjoyed that. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him at his own beast. And here's my text tonight. And brought him to an inn and took care of him. He brought him to an inn. He not only didn't leave him like he found him, he did not leave him where he found him. And the grace of God that's proclamated in this Bible will not leave you like it finds you, but it won't leave you where it finds you. He just didn't bind him up and heal him up and fix him up and leave him there. He brought him to an inn. You know what an inn is? It's a home away from home while you're on your way home. And the closest you'll get to home before you get home is when you're at the inn making yourself at home. Well, aren't you glad when God saved you, he didn't leave you to flip and flop, flolic all out in the world. But he brought you to a place, to a home away from home, while you're on your way home, so you can get ready to go home. He brought him to an inn. Notice what happens now in the text in verse number 35. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. Whereat? In the inn. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, whereat? The inn. I will repay thee. Whereat? In the inn. And when I come again to the inn, I will repay thee. And I'm interested tonight in that little inn in our text where the Lord brought this man to be healed from his past, where God brought this man and gave him a place to recover from a life of destruction. And he not only didn't leave him like he found him, he didn't leave him where he found him, but he brought him to an inn. Brought him to a home away from home while he was on his way home. By the way, this church, our local assemblies, you know what it is? It is our home away from home while we're on our way home. And the closest you'll be to home till you get home is when you think about home and its home on your way to your heavenly home. I'm glad to be in the inn. Think about it tonight. What is an inn? An inn is a place where the stranger is welcome. Why, if strangers are not welcome, that inn is going to go out of business. You go by an inn, a hotel, or a motel, they don't have signs up, certain people can't come. You see, the hyper-Calvinists, they don't have inns, they have exclusive clubs. But free grace has, the stranger is welcome. Oh, aren't you glad when you was a stranger, God put you into a place where the light was on and the door was open and the welcome mat was rolled out. Hallelujah, it's a place where the stranger is welcome. Think about it tonight. What is an inn? An inn is a place where the hungry are fed. There's a table spread in that inn where the traveler can come and get a good meal to be refreshed for the rest of the trip. Well, aren't you glad in this world there is an inn with a table spread? And one of the greatest evidences that you possess salvation is you don't feed where you used to feed. Like that prodigal son, you drop the pail, kick the rail, and hit the trail. And aren't you glad that Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed, and he invites not his frozen people, but chosen people coming down. Boy, isn't it good to be at the table tonight? It is a place where the stranger is welcome. It is a place where the hungry are fed. Think about an inn tonight. What is it? It is a place where the weary are rested. That inn is a place where the traveler, the stranger, can come and lay down his load and lay down his burden and rest for a little while. And I believe we all would agree tonight that we're living in a weary world. All of us tonight are like Lot. We vex our righteous soul from day to day living in this ungodly world. But there is an inn. There is a lodge in the wilderness. There is a place where we can come and hear the voice of our heavenly host that says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is a place where we come and get relief. This is a place where we come and get rest. This is a place where we come and get renewed. This is a place where we come and get revived. This is a place where we come and get our mind off of the cares of our life and rest for the rest of the journey. I'm glad to be at the inn. I feel more at home here than I do anywhere else in this whole world. Because it's good to be with fellow travelers and fellow kinsmen along the journey. Headed to the same country, serving the same God, and stopping over at the same inn. It is a place where the stranger is welcome. It is a place where the hungry are fed. It is a place where the weary are rested. Think about an inn tonight. What is it? It is a place where the dirty are cleansed. Because there's a place in that inn where you can take a bath. There's a place in that inn where the stranger can come and remove the soil and the sweat from the journey and get clean along the way. It doesn't take a rocket science to figure out we're living in a dirty, vile, wicked world. But I'm glad there's a place where it's not vile. I'm glad there's a place where it's not wicked. I'm glad there's a place where it's different. Or should I say, ought to be different. For down there at the inn, the singing is different. Down there at the inn, the singing is different. I think I'll hit that again. Down there at the inn, the singing is different. Down there at the inn, the conversation is different. Down there at the inn, the dress is different. I think I'll hit that one again. Down there at the inn, the dress is different. Down there at the inn, the attitude and the spirit and the atmosphere is different. I get uncomfortable in this world and a lot of places I go. They're not singing my song. They're not living by this book. They're not worshiping my Savior. And it doesn't feel good and it doesn't sound right. But you let Sunday morning roll by and they'll open the door and they'll turn on the light and the choir will sing and the people of fellowship and the man of God will preach and virtue and power and purity and holiness begins to flow. Aren't you glad tonight to be in an inn where we get rested, where we get welcome, where we get fed, where we get cleansed. I'm glad to be in the inn. Oh, I forgot to give you the title of my message. I'm preaching tonight on this subject. We'll leave the light on for you. Because aren't you glad at Calvary God left the light on for all of us? Look in your Bible tonight. There are three particular things that happen in this text in the inn. Number one, in the text tonight, the inn was a place for the sinner's recovery. In the inn was a place where the fallen man got over being a fallen man. We open the text tonight in verse number 30. We meet this certain man. The Bible said he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. The Bible said that he fell among thieves. We know who the thief is. He's Satan. He's the devil. What has he come to do? To kill and to steal and destroy. And the Bible said when this man fell among these thieves, they did three things to this man. Number one, the Bible said they stripped him of his raiment. By the time they got through messing with this man, they had stolen, they had pillaged, they had taken from him everything that he owned, even his stitch of clothes. And can I remind you, Satan tonight is the great thief. He steals and kills. He will rob and pillage and take from you your heart, your soul, your body, and your mind. So here's a man that has fallen, and here's a man that is stripped. The Bible said, number two, these thieves wounded this man. That little word wound means more than a scratch. It means more than a bruise. It means to be cut through the meat down to the bone. It literally means to have an open, gaping wound. And by the time the thieves got through with this man, they had left their marks on this man. And may I say, the devil tonight is in the wounding business. He has wounded lives. He has wounded families. He has wounded churches. And may I say to every young person in this room tonight, you can live for the devil if you want to. You can live unrestrained if you want to. But there'll come a day in your life when somebody can take one look at you and tell whether sin has had dominion in your life or not. Boy, here's a man that's only fallen. He's not only stripped, but he is open, gaping. He is deeply, mortally wounded. And then number three, to add insult to injury, the Bible said they forsook him. They departed. They left this man naked and wounded and bleeding to die on the side of the road. And by the time you come to the end of verse number 30, here is a man that cannot help himself. By the way, we preach to people every day that we mount the pulpit that are stripped and that are wounded and that been forsaken, and they cannot help themselves. By the time you get to the end of verse number 32, it looks like nobody else can help him either. Let me run a rabbit while I'm passing through. Out of all the people that ought to be able to help this poor boy, it ought to be these two fellas in verse 31 and verse number 32. You say, why is that? Because they were religious people. They were religious people. And if anybody ought to help the naked and the fallen and the wounded, it ought to be religious people. But I'm here to tell you, some of the meanest people I ever met in my life were religious people. I didn't say saved people. I definitely didn't say Holy Ghost filled people. Can I tell you tonight, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. And so this priest comes by and looks at him and passes by. The Levite comes by and looks on him and passes him by and goes to the other side. Here's a picture of total helplessness and utter despair. This man has fallen. This man is naked. This man is wounded. This man is deserted. This man is unconscious. He's laying on the side of the road and he can't help himself, and the law can't help him and religion can't help him. Here is a man that is in the muck and the mire of despair. But praise God, verse 33. But this certain Samaritan. Notice the word certain in the text. For every certain man, you got a certain Samaritan. And may I say, for every certain sinner, whoop, you got a certain Savior. And can I say the Jesus that they sang about and the Jesus we're preaching about, he's the certain Savior. He's the certain Christ. He's the certain Lamb. He's the certain King. In fact, he's so certain, he is the only one. The Bible said this man comes to where he is. He doesn't try to minister from a distance. He goes to where he is. Salvation is not a total depraved sinner lifting himself up by his bootstraps and going to God. Bible salvation is a holy God coming down to a holy sinner and raising him up to a place of holiness and salvation. Brother Squire Parson put it best when he penned these words, when I couldn't go out of where Jesus was. He came to me. He came to me. I was lost. I was dead. I was depraved. I was deserted. I was disobedient. And I was defiled. I wasn't looking for God. Couldn't find God if I hadn't been looking for God. But he came looking for me. And he came to where I was. And when he got to where I was, he looked beyond my fault and he saw my need. And in spite of being stripped, in spite of being fallen, in spite of being deserted, in spite of being wounded, he had compassion on me. And went to him. In Georgia, that means he got right down there where he was at. Hands on. By the way, if you're not willing to get your hands dirty, you will not build a church in the 21st century. And he went to him. The Bible said this man did three things for him. Number one, he bound up his wounds. He didn't leave him like he found him. He bound up his wounds. He literally wrapped those bandages and you couldn't see his wound because it was wrapped up in the bandage. Those wounds represent the consequences of bad choices. Those wounds represent all of the failures of his past. But somebody's going to come along and remove from sight the consequences of his past. Whoop. So when you, hallelujah, so when you, boy, that felt good. So when you look at this man, you don't see the wounds and the results of his past. Amen, it's hid from sight. Oh, aren't you glad tonight when a holy sovereign God, when an all-seeing, omniscient God looks our way. He doesn't see our past. He doesn't see our wounds. He doesn't see our sins. But it's wrapped up, tied up, bound up in the compassion and in the mercy and in the grace of Almighty God. I'm glad I met somebody that could take away my past. Bound him up. Number two, pouring in. Pouring in. He needs more than surface relief. He's got to have an inside cure. Somebody asked me the other day, said, how old are you? Well, I'm pre-Walmart. I remember going to Kmart. And you know you're a redneck if you've ever been to Roses. And before Roses, it was Sears and Roebuck. Not just Sears, but Sears and Roebuck. All of us independent Baptist preachers' boys grew up with a French tailor, J.C. Penney. You blondes are going to get that out. Hey, man. I'm pre-Walmart. I tell you how old I am. I remember using a payphone. I tell you, Ralph Sexton told me today, one of his little grandsons come up with a big old long play album. And he said, look, Paul, I found the giant CD. I'll tell you how old I am. I remember playing out in the yard and falling and scratching my knee and my leg. And mama had these two things. They were both kind of reddish. One was mercurochrome and the other was methylene. One would soothe and comfort and the other one would make you do a Pentecostal dance on Sunday morning. Boy, rub that stuff on, blow on it. It ain't gonna hurt. No, mommy, it ain't gonna hurt on you, but it's about to kill me to death. You say that to her? No, I'd have been skin on the other side. Say amen. This man has fallen. He is wounded. He can't stand a Band-Aid. He don't need him a methylene. He don't need him a Curachrome. He don't need no Vaseline, no Vic salve, no Fuller brush salve. I'll tell you what he needs. He needs something to go deeper than the wound and deeper than his past and deeper than his stain. And aren't you glad the redemption that we have tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ? Good God Almighty, it goes deeper than our past and deeper than our stain and deeper than our foul out. I'm telling you tonight, salvation is a deep inside work. Pour it in. Pour it in oil and wine. I saw that oil, man. I got that right off. That's a picture of the person and the work of the Holy Ghost. And can I say this tonight? There's no foul up in your past. There's no sin in your past. There's no failure in your past that a good dose of the Holy Ghost can get you up and over and beyond and out of what you've been in. But when I got to that wine, that got me. I didn't get it. So I did what most people do when they got God. I went to a commentary. And I found out that dude got where I got. Have you ever noticed this about commentaries? All that you understand, they wrote 12 pages about it. And that what you're trying to find something on, they skipped it. Because they got where you got. And then something my homiletic professor from seminary came roaring back in my mind. Young men, when you're reading the Bible and you see something you don't understand, read on. Read on. Principle number one, boys, Scripture explains Scripture. The greatest commentary on the Bible, it's the Bible. God will explain Himself. Read on, read on, read on. Well, I read on. In fact, I read about 12 chapters on. And I came to the Passion Week, and I came to the upper room, and I sat at the table with Jesus. And while we're sitting there having the Lord's Supper, He picks up a piece of bread and said, "This is my body." And I'll have to admit that Jesus Christ is the blessed, broken, bountiful bread of life. And there's enough bread in Him that'll feed every hungry sinner that'll come to the foot of the cross. But Jesus, in that same setting, at that same sequence of events, He picked up that cup, and in that cup was the fruit of the vine. Do you know what the fruit of the vine is? It is unfermented wine. So Jesus held up the cup that contains unfermented wine, the fruit of the vine. And Jesus makes this statement. He said, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of many sin." You say, "Now, preacher, the fruit of the vine and Jesus, what has that got to do with each other?" I'm glad you asked. Can I quote from Scripture? John 15:1, "I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman." What about verse number 5? "I'm the vine, ye are the branches." You know what that fruit of the vine is? That unfermented wine, honey, it's a picture of the sinless, perfect, immaculate, holy blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what you have in this text is a picture of the Holy Ghost applying the blood of Christ. And may I say to you tonight, I don't care how far you've been, how long you stayed, how deep you went, there's no foul up in your life, there's no sin in your past, there's no mess up up in your life that the blood of Jesus, I said that the blood of Jesus, I said that the blood of Jesus can't lift you out of and change your life. Hallelujah. Let me ask you this tonight. Lord have mercy. How can we be nothing more than victors and conquerors when we got the blood and the Holy Ghost? When we got the blood and the Holy Ghost. When we got the blood and the Holy Ghost. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. He came by one day, looked beyond your fault and saw your need. Poured it in. Poured it in. Poured it in. Me, I've seen the double cure. I've got the double cure. I've got the blood and the oil of the Holy Ghost. Thank God he come my way. Woo, I enjoyed that. Bound him up. Poured him in. Brought him to. Brought him to. In. And what does the Bible say he did in the end? Took care of him. And it's in that end. It's in that end. It is in that end where he is going to make a full recovery. It is in that end where he is going to get over being fallen. It is in where he's going to get over being stripped. It is in that end where he's going to get over being wounded. In fact, if he'll stay put long enough in that end, you won't even be able to tell he ever got messed up to start with. Boy, moving to Atlanta, Georgia 32 and a half years ago was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me, because it dawned on me everybody didn't have a preaching daddy. Everybody didn't have a shouting mama. Everybody didn't grow up teething on the back of pews and songbooks. Some there's people that's been stripped by the devil and wounded by the fall and lived a jacked up, messed up life. But aren't you glad Jesus comes by and the Holy Ghost plunges them beneath the cleansing flow, and God changes them, and God blesses them, and God saves them. And it's at that end, it's in that end where they make a full recovery from their past. Call other churches. You start out dignified, but don't end that way. Usually if there's nobody there that has money, no politicians, nobody I'm trying to impress, we start out dignified and end dignified. But you let somebody be there with money. You let some politician come in. You let somebody come in we're trying to make an inroad to. Woo! Every time. And they've been twice, first and last. Hello. We had some folks get up and leave the other day during the altar prayer. They couldn't even make it through the opening prayer. I thought, if you don't make it through the opening prayer, you wait till Miss Pinion and Miss Watley get stirred up. Bless God, you're thank you in a holiness church for sure. Can I get an amen right? I sat up on my dignified seat one Sunday morning. Our choir marched up there, and man, they began to sing that song, Jesus Buried My Past. Ooh, and it got better and better. I love to watch city people try to hold it back. Especially ladies that's got a $100 face job. $40 worth of fingernails. $100 face job and a 10 cent brain. But anyway, here. Boy, they held it as long as they could. And about that time over here from this corner, I heard, woo! In a few minutes, her partner joined, woo! And these two ladies are just back there shouting and praising God, shouting and praising God. And boy, I looked, and I began to weep. One on this side has been a member of our church her whole life. She's been at our church. She came to church 9 months before she was born. Now, if you didn't get that, Brother Shelton will explain that in the foyer at the end of the service tonight. Taught Sunday school for years, lived a godly life. Man, she's been there for the whole 32 and a half years. Been kind to my wife and I. And I just want to say this, anybody tithes like that and lives like that and serves like that, they can shout at my church anytime they want to. Bless God, it don't matter if the governor's there. Say amen. Amen. Shouting her out. And oh, beside of her stood a lady. And she was a shouting too. And she was not a Sunday school girl. And by her own testimony, she'll tell you, preacher, I've been there and I've done that. And lived a very... very vile life. Her and her husband met at the West Texas Bar and Grill on Stewart Avenue. No, that's not where the Girl Scouts go to sell cookies. That's the red light district of Atlanta. They met at that bar and grill. They got hooked up. He said, preacher, on a Friday night, a family night of fun for us was me to get my young'uns and she get her young'uns, and we sit on the floor in a circle and smoke pot and listen to Elton John records. But oh, one Sunday morning, somebody invited her to church. And she got gloriously, dramatically saved. Brother Sammy said, hey, she got born from above, amen. God saved her. 2 weeks later, God saved her husband. They sit in the center section. They come in a three-point stance. All you got to say, open your Bible. Whoop it, man. I could preach out of the maps and they'd say, that's right. That's where I'm going, brother. Hallelujah. I could preach on the opening line, Holy Bible. Whoop, it sure is. I could even turn to the back and the gold letters and preach on it, and they'll shout, genuine, amen. Shouting and praising God and loving Jesus and tithing and winning souls and making an impact for God. And I watched them two women shout. I mean, one been saved just about her whole life, got saved when she was 9. The other one got saved when she was 39. One lived for God her whole life. The other's making up for lost time. Now listen, if you'd have been there that Sunday morning, you wouldn't have been able to tell who I'm talking about. You wouldn't know which one I'm talking about. All the reason why I know, I'm their pastor and I've heard their stories. You know why you couldn't tell the difference? Because they both smiled alike. They both shined alike. They both sang alike. They both, amen, shouted alike. You know why? By God, at the end, under the influence and the wine, they've made a full recovery. They've made a full recovery. I'm here to tell you tonight, if God has saved you and emancipated you from your past and forgiven you of your sin, you get your head up tonight and walk home for God and live for God. It's in the depths of the sea. It's sealed up in a bag. It's behind his back. It's far removed as the east is from the west. In fact of the matter, it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. Hey, you can make a recovery at the end. And if you don't hang around at that end, you may be back out there where you came from. Woo! So hang around at the end. Brother Larry Brown told me the other day, he noticed a visitor sitting out in the congregation. Very, very wicked looking person. He said, during the handshaking, the Holy Spirit prompted me to go back there. And he said, I walked back there and I said, ma'am, I'm Pastor Brown and I've never seen you here before. And she said, no. She said, sir, I'm the biggest prostitute in this Twin City area, Augusta, Georgia, and North Augusta, South Carolina. And she said, I'm the biggest prostitute in this town. And she said, I woke up this morning and thought, I don't want to die like this. There's got to be a better way to live. And she said, I went to this other church and she named it. And she said, somebody recognized me. I think I'll move on right there. And one of the ushers said, oh no, we don't allow your kind to come in here. She said, I want to go to church. He said, I know just the place. He said, down there in Martintown, right up on a hill, is this metal building. And there's this crazy, wild-eyed guy in there. And said, the rumor is, they'll let anything go to their church. That's where we send all our rejects. I'm sure they'd welcome you. So you go down there. Well, she went down there. And they opened the door. They turned on the light. They threw out the welcome mat. And my buddy preached Jesus. And he preached the blood. And gave, you ain't gonna believe this, the churches are still doing this. Gave a public invitation. And invited her to come to Jesus. And she got saved. And she's singing in the choir, living for God. Oh, aren't you glad? And, I got to get a hold of myself. I'm about to go to hacking. Oh, aren't you glad that when you were a sinner and nobody cared, nobody gave you a second chance. They gave up on you. The school gave up on you. Your family gave up on you. But there's a sovereign God in the glory world who didn't give up on you. And God saved you. And God cleansed you. And God forgave you. And God forgave you. And he brought you to the end. You're welcome here. You're welcome here. We're glad you're here. You can get over your past. You can get over your failures. You can get over your foul ups. I'm glad the inn is a place for the recovery of the sinner. Woo! Glad to be at the inn. Can I say that again? I'm glad to be at the inn. It's a place for the recovery of the sinner. Number two, look in the text. And this inn is a place for the role of the saints. The inn is a place where the saint of God has an opportunity to fulfill his role. Now, when you preach on this text, most of the time we preach about the fallen man, the priest, the Levite, and the Good Samaritan. But there is another character hidden in this text, and he's called the host. He's the innkeeper. You say, what's the innkeeper do? He keeps the inn. Say that word again. You ain't never said that about my preaching. You usually say that about Brian's preaching. He thinks I'm profound. I hope that's good. He meant round. If you don't cut your hair, God ain't gonna use you no more, son. I'm gonna. The inn is somebody who keeps the inn. He's a host. By the way, you know what a host does? He welcomes the stranger. You know what the host does? He sets the table. You know what the host does? He rests the weary. You know what the host does? He pours himself in the life of somebody else and expects nothing in return. The host is the one that sees to it that the fallen man makes a full recovery. The host is the one who stays with him and loves on him and prays with him and cries with him and weeps with him and shouts with him and hurts with him. That host is somebody that helps him recover from his past. Time out. Boy, aren't you glad when God saved you? He didn't leave you out in the world to fail. He put you to an inn and put you under the watch care of a host. Somebody that didn't mind how you looked.
That's exactly right.
Somebody that didn't mind how you lived.
Amen.
Somebody that just said, I'm going to help you.
Oh, yeah, preacher. Amen.
Glad you're here.
Amen.
This is a good place. I'll tell you what, I bet it beats where you used to be.
Yes, sir.
This sure does beat being in the ditch.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
It sure does beat being fallen and stripped and wounded.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is our end.
Amen.
This ain't the final end, but this is our end that we get to our end.
Yeah. Amen.
So you just rest real good here now. I'm Amen. Your host.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to get through this together.
Amen.
Now, here's how we read our Bibles.
Yes, sir.
And here's how we dress.
Yep.
And here's how we tithe.
Yep.
And here's how we pray.
Amen.
I know you don't know much right now, but we're going to give you time to grow.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Must not be a Baptist church, but we're going to give him time to grow.
Amen. Amen.
I know yes, you're a newborn babe in Christ.
Yeah, tell it.
Oh, but you hang in here with us.
Yeah.
We'll walk the last mile together. That might get rough a time or two.
Amen.
And the storms will come. And the winds may blow.
Amen.
But he'll be faithful. God is good.
Amen.
I want to be your host. Let me bear Amen. Your burdens. Let me pray with you. Let me read the word of God to you.
Yeah.
Let me sing to you in your darkest Amen. Hour. And when your friends forsake you, we'll be there.
Amen.
And if your family turns their back, Conia, we'll be there.
Amen.
And when the devil's swapping your brains out, we'll be there.
Amen.
We're in this thing together. We're walking together.
Amen.
We're praying together. We're shouting together.
Amen.
We're singing together. We're worshiping together.
Amen.
We're battling together. Hey, we're going home together.
Yeah.
And you ain't seen nothing yet, cause the best is yet to come. Lord God, aren't you glad when you was a baby Christian, God put you in an inn under the ministry of a host. You know why you are what you are, and you know why you are where you are? Jesus had a host. Oh, Lord. A lot of us would have went back a long time ago. But the host says, don't do that.
That's right.
Don't do that, man.
No.
I mean, we may get in a fix where we can't go that way and we can't go that way and we can't go that way. But the Lord don't want to go that way. We done been that way one time.
Right. Amen.
And we done learned there's nothing that way.
That's right.
That's not the good way.
Amen.
But hang on, brother. God's going to come through.
Amen.
He's going to answer that prayer.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to supply that need.
Amen.
I'm just glad to be in the army with
Amen.
You. I'm just glad to be in the army with you.
Amen.
One of my critics spoke up the other day and said, Brother Joe is not much of a preacher, but he'd make a good cheerleader. I want to answer and say, well, I hope there is no doubt whose side I'm cheering for.
Amen.
I'm just glad for a host, somebody to love me, somebody to pray with me. In fact, oh Lord, I gotta hurry. In fact, I got a bunch of hosts I'm thinking about right now. I'm thinking about my daddy, Lord have mercy, who was my preacher, who was my pastor, who was my friend. Oh Lord, he was my host. I'm thinking about my little old mama. Son, if my mama was in this room tonight, you wouldn't have to ask nobody if that's Joe's mama. You wouldn't know it, because if nobody else enjoyed my preaching, she would enjoy it. And if you sat next to her and she didn't think you would enjoy it, she'd smack your jaws. Thank God for my host. My wife's mom and dad are sitting here tonight. And for 32 and a half years, they've been good to me. Very, very kind to me. They've been my host. Your daddy, my wife's grandpa, Papa Wishon was a host. Every time I go up and down 85 in South Carolina, boy, I think about Billy Kelly. Lord God, who poured himself into my life. I think about Mays Jackson that said to Joe, I'm going to call on you to preach in this Jubilee. And I'm going to see if you got any oil on your dipstick or not. If you get up and fool around and strike out, you're done. Bless God, get up and go wild. I don't even know what I said, but I got up and went wild. Boy, I thank God for my host. I thank God for A.K. Stewart. As a young preacher, he gave me somewhere to preach. Lord, I'm thinking tonight about Brother Wade Huntley, who'd sit behind you. And most preachers would say, amen, that's good preaching. Not him. He'd say, that'll live. That'll live. That'll live. But aren't you glad for those people in your life, boy, that God put in your life? And they sheltered you, and they loved you, and they cared for you. And let me say this very kindly to all the preachers here tonight. We're not stars. We're not celebrities. No, we're a host. We're a host. We're a host. We pour our lives into others and expect nothing in return. I watch Brother Puckett, 80 plus. Walk up here without holding on to the railing like a statesman. Been a friend of my family my whole life. 32 and a half years ago came to mine and my wife's wedding. And him and my daddy and Brother Bud and her daddy shouted at the wedding. And it was such a move of God, Miss Arthur's been shouting ever since that wedding. Say amen right there. And let me just say this about all this stuff about women in politics. That ain't nothing new. Miss Arthur's been the speaker of our house for 32 and a half years. But I'm just telling you, oh, I remember the first sermon I ever heard you preach. 1981, Bethel Baptist Church, Greensboro, North Carolina, on Monday night for Vernon Gales. I was sitting beside Crawford Bradshaw on the third row to the right, and you preached on Titus about the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Your first point was it was sovereign grace. Your second point, it was saving grace. Your third point, it was satisfying grace. And I don't know what your fourth one was, because by the time you got there, I was running the back of the pews. Amen. Boy, don't you thank God for them hosts in your life. You listen to Brother Joe tonight. Brother Brian, where would we be without those hosts in our life that loved us as baby Christians and gave us a place to preach when we were young preachers? Hey, we're not hosts. We're not celebrities. We're not rock stars. We're to go be a blessing to somebody. Get off your high horse and be a host. You know what I love about the church? It gives me a place to fulfill my calling. They don't let me do this at the mall. They don't let me do this at Walmart. They don't let me do this at the bank. But the church, God's inn in the wilderness, woo, gives me a place to fulfill my calling. Hallelujah. He said, take care of him. What's he supposed to take care of him with? Keep him under the influence of the oil and wine. Keep him under the influence of the oil and the wine. Aren't you glad when you were recovering from your life of sin, there was a host in your life that kept you under the influence of the oil and the wine? It's good to be up for years. It's a place for the recovery of the sinner. It's a place for the role of the saint. But as most preachers say, last but not least, you say, what's that mean? Another hour and a half, praise God. Number three, in the text, the inn is a place for the return of the Samaritan. It's a place for the return of the Samaritan. Now, when that good Samaritan finds that old boy, he's messed up. He's ugly. He's really messed up. I love you too. Please don't take it out of my offering. I love you, brother. You done did. Well, let me get somebody else. But he don't look like much. But he brings him to that host and says, now listen, I got to go away.
Amen.
But in my absence, you take care of him.
Yeah.
And he even gave him what he needed to get the job done.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And he says to him, I'll get it back. You know, he must be union. You can't get no good help. But he says to that host, it's not going to cost you to serve me.
That's right. That's right.
Time out. I sure wish Christians would quit complaining how awful it is to serve God. It ain't awful. Sin was awful. The hog pen was awful. Whew. Being stripped and wounded was awful. It's good. It's great. It's a privilege to be in the service of the King. It's not going to cost you to serve me in the long run. Because when I come again, it'll be payday someday. And he turns and he walks off the pages of our text. I'm closing now. Wouldn't you love to be in that inn, in that room, when he finally woke up and realized, whoa, wow, where am I? How'd I get here? And wouldn't you have loved to have been a fly on the wall hearing him explain to him how he got there? I got a wild imagination. I think I can try to. Well, son, I'll tell you how you got here. You went down that old Jericho road and fell among them thieves, and they worked you over. Stripped you, wounded you, forsook you, and left you for dead. But this man come by. That you've not met yet. Emphasize yet. You've not met yet. And he looked beyond your fault and he saw your need.
Yes, sir.
And he bound you up.
Yeah.
And he poured it in.
Yeah.
And he set you on.
Yeah.
And he brought you to.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
And I've been serving in his place.
Yeah.
I've been serving in his stead.
That's good.
Because he's gone away.
Yeah.
But I've been doing the best I can do.
Yeah.
I've been trying to do what he did. I'm pouring it in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I imagine he says to him, whoa, I sure would love to meet that man sometime. I sure would love to see that man someday and at least say, thank you.
Yeah. Amen.
And I hear him say to him, you're going to get your chance.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
You are going to get that opportunity.
Because,
yeah, son, the last thing he said,
yeah,
when he...
oh, yes. Amen.
The last thing he said when he walked out that door, I'll be back. I'll be back. I'll be back. So hang around at the inn. Some golden daybreak. He that went away is coming back to the inn. For the inn. Hallelujah. What a day. And I believe every day he got up with a faraway look in his eye. Who are you looking for, boy? That man. What man? The one that loved me. The one that delivered me. The one that restored me. The one that bound me up and poured it in and set me on and brought me to. I'm looking for him. Why? Because I want to thank him. I want to praise him. I want to bow down before him and say, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. You say, preacher, what's this crowd doing tonight? We're not crazy. We do have a faraway look in our eye, but we're not crazy. We're looking for that man, the Savior, the Lamb, the cornerstone, the Good Shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the one that loved us, the one that saved us, the one that restored us. And you know why we want to see him? So we can praise him and thank him and worship him. Hang around at the inn. I'm done. But in my parting shot, let me leave you with this. There was no room for Jesus in their inn. But there's room for all of us in his end. Whoop! Because at Calvary, he left the light on for you. So if you need restoring, come to the end. If you're looking for a place to serve, come to the end. If you want to see him one day and have a hallelujah fit, just hang around at the inn. He's coming back for the inn, and we're going to a land where there is no end. Glory. Let's stand together. Lord, we love you tonight. You are a wonderful Savior. You are an awesome God. Thank you for the sweet Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing, saving, precious blood. And Lord, thank you for giving us a place in the inn. Oh, will we recover from the fall? Where we have a place to serve you. And Lord, we're looking for that day when you come to the inn. And we'll praise you and give you the glory. We'll love you tonight in Jesus' name. Tonight, if you just want to come and thank the Lord for saving you, you do that. If you want to come tonight and pray for somebody God's put on your heart that you need to be a host to, you do that. And tonight, if you've been messed up by this old world, come on to the inn. There's hope for your life. Let's sing together. Thank you, Brother Tim.